Good afternoon. Again, we do give you a warm welcome to our open-air worship that we're having at Partick Station this afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. And we do issue a warm welcome to you to come along and to hear something more. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's opposite the police station on Dumbarton Road. Go up the hill. Next door to Thornwood Primary School, you'll find us there. You'll find us on the Lord's Day, Sunday at 11 a.m. and again in the early evening at 6 p.m. and the Wednesday prayer meeting at 7:30 p.m. And we would be delighted to meet with you. Come as you are. Nothing special is required. Just come along and hear something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have someone else to be able to give a word this afternoon. But it's the same gospel, friends. It may be a different voice, a different emphasis, but it's the same gospel because there is no other gospel. This is the only good news that's ever going to come from heaven. And it has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we consider all that he did and all that he undertook in order to save mankind, it is indeed a wonder that the Son of God should so humble himself and come down to this world and do what he did. In Philippians, we're told, Paul's letter to the Philippians, talking about the Lord Jesus, describing him, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There the Apostle Paul is outlining the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And let us remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus, he is fully man, but he's also fully God. It was the Son of God who humbled himself and took upon himself our form and our nature. And friends, we say hallelujah to that because he had to do this in order to save people. He could never save us, and we say this with reverence. He could never save us if he stayed in heaven. He couldn't save us. He couldn't save mankind unless He came from heaven and became like us. And that's vitally important. He is God in the flesh. He is the God-man. And this is what, or at least one of the things that makes Christianity unique and distinct. Our great head is God in the flesh. And he did this in order that he would be able to suffer and in order that he might die. The Son of God in himself could never die. God could never suffer. Impossible. But the God-man could, and the God-man did. And he did this in order to secure a salvation for you and I. Because there would be no hope for us without this. And we rejoice that the Lord Jesus did humble himself. And he even, as we're told, and became obedient unto death. But not just any old death. Even the death of the cross. You know, the Romans were cruel, but they would never crucify a Roman. They would never do it. It was something that was beyond them. They wouldn't go that low. They would never crucify one of their own citizens. But here the Lord Jesus, the very King of glory, the one who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the one who put all the planets in their place, the one who created heaven and earth and mankind and all that is contained there. This one was put on a cross by the Romans, crucified. What a humiliating death to be crucified in between two crooks. That's what the Lord Jesus undertook with a crown of thorns upon his head. Blood streaming from his head and from his hands and from his feet and eventually from his side. All of this he undertook in order that He might save people. And friends, we rejoice and we say hallelujah to this, that the Lord Jesus and His work was successful. It was successful. He actually did save His people. And that's why we come out and leave our homes and our studies and the warmth of our pulpits and churches and come out in the afternoon, this cool afternoon in the middle of winter, to tell people about the Lord Jesus, that they might find life in Him, that they would find their sins forgiven in Him, and that they might be reconciled to God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Now you might well be saying to yourself, well, minister, these things are very good, but how do I know the Lord Jesus would accept me? I'm a great sinner, you might say, and indeed we all are great sinners. There are no exceptions. But you might feel your sins, and you might feel, well, there's no way would the Lord my God accept me. I'm beyond it. It's impossible for me. I've sinned so much and done so many terrible things that there's no way could I be saved. I'm beyond redemption, you might be saying to yourself. Friend, that is not the case. That is not the case. If you go back to the crucifixion, if you go back to the fact that Jesus was crucified in the midst of two thieves, and they were more than thieves. They would never be crucified if they were simply thieves. They must have done something terrible, like insurrection and maybe a murder as part of their thieving. But here those two thieves were there, and they were railing at Christ. They were snapping at Him. But all of a sudden, one changed. One of the thieves turned to the Lord Jesus there moments before He died. And what did he say to the Lord Jesus? He says, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. What a thing to say. Here was a criminal who was being crucified. And by his own admission, he says that he was receiving the just rewards for his deeds. He recognized that he deserved to die for what he had done. But he turns to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. What do you think the Lord Jesus said to him? Here was Jesus in agony, blood pouring out of His body, about to die. He turns to this poor man. Today, Thou shalt be with me in paradise. What words. Today, when you die, when you give up the ghost, when you pass into eternity, you will be with me in paradise. That's what he says. And friends, what he was telling this man, this poor man, in effect was, your sins are all forgiven. Your sins, which are great, which are many, which are terrible, are all forgiven, for you will be with me in paradise. If ever there was a man who was beyond hope, it would be that thief on the cross. What could he possibly do to save himself? He was tied to a cross. Could he perform good works? Could he go to church? Could he be someone who would help charity or anything like that? No. He was moments from death. He couldn't move. He was in agony. And he turns to Christ. And Christ, in His infinite grace, tells him, today Thou shalt be with me in paradise. In other words, your sins are forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean. You are reconciled. You will be with me in glory. Friends, that is the experience of every Christian that comes to the Lord Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins, which are great, which are many, which are more than we can calculate, are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Jesus forgives. He receives the penitent. He receives those who will come to Him. Don't let your sins be a barrier. Come to the Lord Jesus just as you are. Confess your sins. Forsake your sins and come. What are the terms of the gospel? It is to repent and to believe. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn away from your sin. Turn away from your fornication. Turn away from your adultery. Turn away from your cheating. Turn away from your swearing and blasphemy and Sabbath breaking. Turn away from all of these things and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of eternal life. Don't think if you go to the confession and you confess your sins before a priest that your sins are forgiven. You need something more. You need to go to Jesus Christ, who alone can forgive sins. That's why the apostles went forth and they preached the everlasting gospel with such power and with such effect, because they said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The uniqueness of the Lord Jesus. And you expect us to keep this message to ourselves? You expect us to confine this message to the four walls of our church, when this message concerns every single one of us, young or old? Why does it affect me and you and everyone else? It affects us all because we're all accountable unto God. It affects us all because this life is very brief and very short and very uncertain, and one day it will come to an end. One day, friends, whether we like it or not, it doesn't matter how well we look after ourselves, and indeed we should look after ourselves, but nevertheless, no matter how well we look after ourselves, the day will come when we shall be gathered to our fathers. We will go the way of all the earth. What does that mean? It simply means we're mortal. That's why the Bible tells us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The prophet Isaiah went into the king Hezekiah, and he said to him on one occasion, set your house in order, for you're going to die. And friends, that's good counsel for all of us. Set your house in order. Get yourself right. How can we get ourselves right? The only way that we can get ourselves right is to be right with God. We're not talking about going to a solicitor and making a will. Indeed, you should do that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being right with God, of being reconciled to God. We're talking about having our sins forgiven. This is what we must do in order to be right with God, because by nature we're not right with God. We know this doctrine does not please people, but it's true. What is the doctrine we're talking about? The doctrine that we're all sinners. Sin has affected us. It has affected our minds. It has affected our hearts. It has affected our wills. It has affected our minds because we don't understand the Word of God as we should. And people will say to me, Minister, you're talking rubbish. When in actual fact, I'm talking the very words of God. But sin has affected us because we turn around and say that God's Word is rubbish. And sin has affected our hearts, our affections. We should be people who love the Lord our God. Why should we love Him? We should love Him because He is our Creator, and He's the one who has looked after us day after day, moment after moment, from the very moment of our conception to the time of our departure out of this world. God has looked after us. and therefore we should love him, and we should obey him, but we don't, because sin has affected our minds, our hearts, and our wills. We don't obey the word of God. What does the word of God tell us? It tells us to repent and to believe the gospel, to repent and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, but we don't do it. Why not? Because sin has affected us. This is our great problem. And we don't like to deal with it. Even people in the church don't like to deal with it. You might go to church and you might never hear about sin, about your own personal sin and your need to be reconciled to God and to have your sins forgiven. The church has gone silent about this matter. But the Bible doesn't make sense unless you understand the doctrine of sin. And you'll never love the Lord Jesus. You'll never call upon him. You'll never seek him. You'll never value him unless you understand this. And that's why we must go to the Word of God. And let the Word of God correct our thinking, because our thinking, because of sin, is not what it should be. Well, we're here to tell you about Jesus. We told you about the fact that he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But, you know, it doesn't end there. Yes, he was on a cross. Yes, he died. Yes, he suffered. He was taken off the cross, dead, lifeless, stiff. But he was put in a tomb. He was put in a borrowed tomb. He was there Friday night, Saturday night. But what happened on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, which we call the Lord's Day? What happened that day? That day, Jesus rose victorious over the grave. The grave could not hold him. And that is good news. It's good news for you, and it's good news for me, because we are urged to put our faith and hope and trust upon a Savior that is alive. Alive. The Lord Jesus Christ is not dead. He was dead, true, but he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And a live Savior, a living Savior, can save. That's why we're out this afternoon, to tell you about the living Savior. Paul goes on in Philippians to talk about the Lord Jesus in his state of exaltation. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer in a state of humiliation. He is now in heaven. He has been raised and he has ascended and he has been exalted. He now sits on the throne of the universe. And what we see unfolding in the world today, even to the most smallest of occasions and incidents, even to great world events, they are all happening because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to his disciples, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And that's the Savior you're called upon to believe and to receive. He's not in a manger. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's in heaven. And he's in heaven until that time when he will return. Yes, we know there'll be scoffers in the last days, and they'll be like that lady who was out here earlier, who was laughing away. But Jesus Christ will return, He came the first time according to the prophecies in the Old Testament, and He fulfilled many of them, and He is yet to fulfill others, and He will fulfill them. And the day will come, friends, when you will look up. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. You'll not need a preacher that day. You'll not need to watch the news. You'll not need to watch the internet or have your radios on. That day you will see Him. Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Everyone. For that day will be a day when He will come, and there will be a tremendous resurrection. Yes, people can laugh, but the very fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that He was resurrected, demonstrates and confirms that there shall be a resurrection. And you will see the Lord Jesus, and you will see Him in His glory as He comes with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of His holy angels, and He will have a throne. A great white throne, we're told, in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And He will be seated on that throne, and you will have an audience with Him. You will come forth. And this day you will recall, because you heard something about the Lord Jesus today. And therefore you are without excuse. You've heard about Him. You have been urged to turn from your sins and to repent and to believe the gospel. You have been told the day is coming, that day of judgment, that terrible day of judgment. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we come out this afternoon, to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus, that you might forsake your wicked ways, that you would not reject Christ, but that you would avail yourselves of that glorious and wonderful salvation that's only to be found in Him. We're going to draw our time to a close. It's good to be here. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, and we would give you a warm welcome to come along. That's opposite the police station, up the hill, next door to Thornwood Primary School. We meet on Sunday at 11 a.m., and again at 6 o'clock in the evening, and 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And may the Lord bless His word to you this afternoon.